bills. House Bill 1053, an act to revise certain provisions relating to the practice of optometry.
House Bill 1053, having had its second reading, is up for final consideration. Are there any remarks? Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam President. Members of the Senate, I'll try to hold this down. You've all been well informed about this bill, but I would like to give you some facts. First off, last year I voted against this, and now I'm priming it. So I got a phone call last year and said, why'd you do that? And so I thought I better do a little of my own research, so I did. First off, I found out that 37 states were doing this, that what this bill calls for, and nobody had rescinded that. Secondly, I looked for lawsuits. I couldn't find any with this practice. So then I took and I compared education of dentists and optometrists, and I found out they were exactly the same when you talk about pharmaceuticals and all that. So then I go, why do we allow dentists to do this, plus do injectables, and we don't allow optometrists with the same education level? Now, there's something out of whack. Either the dentists are doing more than they should be, or the optometrists are held below their education level. So I've asked the medical family this, and they give me two answers. They say, well, they did that before I was here. Or they say, I don't want to fight the battle taking it away, or I don't know. That's all they'll give you. I say, well, you know, there's something's out of whack. You can't have it both ways, and they won't answer it. And so I'm completely convinced that they have the education. You know, I've had many experiences with things in my eyes. I used to always go to the doctor. Finally, my old family practitioner that died a few years ago, I went to him with what I thought was steel in my eye, and after I'd tried my home remedy with my magnet, which I always do, and I couldn't get it out, and I couldn't sleep, and so I finally went and saw him. He cleaned it out, and he gave me some drops like I'd always gotten, and he gave me some salve like he always gave me. And I'd probably been to see him 12, 15 times over my lifetime. I came back a day or two later because I was just going ape with this stuff. And by this time, my whole eye was red. He said, why don't you go down and see the optometrist? He has better equipment to take that stuff out of there. So I go down there, and he looks in there, and he says, well, he didn't get the rust out of your eye. Now, he said, you probably got some infection here. So he cleaned it all out. You know, once again, that deadening drop felt great. And guess what he gave me? He said, take this salve, put it in your eye. Take these drops, put it in your eye. When I got home, I checked from all those piles of them that I'd had before. They were exactly the same. But he said, you need some antibiotics for your eye, but I can't prescribe them. So he called my local doctor, who never saw me again, and sent me down to the drugstore to pick up the antibiotics. He never saw me. He never questioned it. Nothing. He trusted this guy because it had happened literally dozens of times. So I'm just saying, either we allow these people to practice what they're trained for, or we take it away from the dentist, one or the other. So I urge your support for this bill.
Further remarks. Senator Dutton.
Thank you, Madam President and members of the body. This bill states that optometrists would be able to be allowed to prescribe oral pharmaceuticals as pertaining to eye care. We've seen this bill before. This would include oral antibiotics, antiviral agents, and steroids. There are systemic medications having possible side effects on the body itself and drug interactions with other medications that the patient may be on. Thus, having an optometrist prescribing these medications without talking with the patient's local doctor first could inherently be dangerous to the patient if he is on some other medication which might react with the antibiotics or such. The way the system works now is safe and appropriate for the few patients that need an oral medication for an eye problem. Right now, an optometrist does see a patient that might need an oral antibiotic or steroid. They are required to contact the patient's local physician or an ophthalmologist to discuss the case, and then the medical case is managed together. An ophthalmologist told me that he frequently talks to a physician himself. To make sure that there are no problems using the oral agent. Optometrists do not have the same clinical training necessary to prescribe these medications. A medical doctor, and this is an important point, ladies and gentlemen, I wish you'd listen. A medical doctor cannot come out straight out of medical school and prescribe these medications they are asking for unless they have already completed a 3-year residency in family practice or internal medicine. Thus, the optometrists are asking for something that even medical doctors in this state are not allowed to do without clinical training of 3 years or more. Nurse practitioners and physician assistants in this state can prescribe medications, but only under the supervision of a physician. There is no reason why optometry cannot continue to do the same. They certainly have less clinical training with these medicines than nurse practitioners and physician assistants. There is the argument, all the other states are doing this now. Currently, there are 30 states that have some optometrists prescribing oral medications. Most states, though, and here's the clincher, have limitations and various forms of physician consultations depending on the medication ordered. This bill, House Bill 1053, has no limitation of what medications can be used or whether physician consultation is required for certain strong medications such as steroids, as is present in many other state statutes. So, as the optometrists are saying that there are 35 other states that are doing this, they are not telling the truth. There are probably 10 states that have a bill as broad as this one. So many are saying, oh, well, this is a rural problem. But I maintain that the rural patients are often co-managed with the optometrist and a physician working together on the problem. The patient can be seen by the optometrist, the physician called, and a prescription that is called in by the physician. The patient can still be followed locally by the optometrist, and certainly if things are going well, would not even have to go off and see a specialist. But if the patient's condition would worsen, the physician would already be aware what is going on with the patient and already is involved in their care. How in the world, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, does taking the physician out of the care of the patients, is this beneficial to the patients in South Dakota? And finally, isn't this going to open a Pandora's box to other allied health personnel who try to seek to practice medicine without a physician's supervision? Patient care in South Dakota is well served by having physicians working with these paraprofessionals and not separately. Please vote no on House Bill 1053.
Further remarks?
Madam President.
Senator Lawler.
Thank you, Madam President. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, well, I remember just about 5 years ago when a similar bill came in to permit the optometrists to put the glaucoma drops in the eyes. And all the ophthalmologists were there saying, if you do this, you're going to blind everybody. And that went through and it was approved. And in the last 5 years, I've not had one complaint that one person has been blinded. In respect to the optometrist, I'll tell you how it works, because it works in Aberdeen this way. The optometrist sees the patient. They need a prescription, so they call the MD, the MD calls the pharmacy, and the patient go gets the drug. The MD trusts the optometrist, he never sees the patient, and besides, who's better qualified for eye diseases, the optometrist or a general practitioner, or a PA generally who would see the patient? I see nothing wrong with this. In 3 or 4 years, if you approve this, there will be no problem.
Further remarks? Senator Paisley.
Thank you, Madam President, and members of the Senate.
Over the past many years, the same issues, so very similar issues between the optometrists and the ophthalmologists have been presented to this body. And on two of those occasions, the counsel that we gave to the conflicting parties was simply one in which we said, go back to the drawing board, sit down with one another, and come to your conclusions together. Because we, again, as a legislative body, really are in no position to make these medical decisions. Someplace within the medical profession, there are levels of skills and of attainment. They've been well established and well defined. We have the ophthalmologists, we have the optometrists, we have the opticians. And I think that those lines of delineation between the various bodies are something that should be determined within the medical profession, not by a legislative body that maybe is privy to just a little bit of the information that's necessary for us to make a decision. I think it'd be mostly interesting if one of these first days, the opticians came in and challenged the optometrists. You know, and there's no reason why they couldn't. Perhaps they had had two or three more course hours to their study level and then make the claims that they had an equal kind of capability and preparation to perform some of the optometrist's chores. This is not a legislative decision. This is a medical decision, and I'd ask and encourage you to set this bill aside and again counsel the two bodies to meet together and reach these decisions the way they should be reached. Thank you, Madam President.
Further remarks. Senator Simmons.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, I would beg to differ with Senator Paisley. This is a legislative decision because the legislature has put into statute what they can and cannot do. The only way to make a change is in front of the legislature. No one else can do it but us. So it is a legislative decision. The other thing that I think we should keep in mind is that health care moves forward at a steady pace. Senator Dunn made the point that folks, they need 3 years of clinical practice before they can prescribe. Well, what about the new drugs that come out? What about the new treatment processes? What about the new practices, whether it be surgical practices, whether it be any of the other practices that happen in healthcare? Do we require a practicing MD or an ophthalmologist to take 3 years of practice when something new comes along before they can do it? No, we don't. Healthcare, as it advances, is a steady continuum. If we were to limit by statute what an MD or an ophthalmologist does, then we would be doing the same thing we've done in statute for the optometrist. We don't do that. These optometrists have a much higher practice than they had 10 and 20 and 30 years ago. They've studied more. They've taken more hours. They've used more practices. As healthcare advances, we've got to let the trade in healthcare advance with it and not limit them to their abilities to practice medicine in that manner. We are simply saying that they can prescribe by pill rather than by drops and by salves. We're not saying they can do everything. We've still, if you notice, House Bill 1053, it still does not remove the practice of injection into the eye. That's still there. So let's take a real good look at what we're doing here. This is a very small step to advance their ability to practice and do a good job. Let's make sure we pass House Bill 1053.
Further remarks.
Madam President, I call the question.
Question's been called. Is there a second? Those in favor of calling the question, say aye. Opposed, nay. The question has been called. The question before the Senate is final consideration of House Bill 1053. As your name is called, those in favor, say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Albers. Senator Benson. Bogue. Brose. Brown, Dugard, Dennert, Drake, Dunn Jim, Dunn Rebecca, Duxbury, Everest, Flowers, Frederick, Hangey, Halverson, Ham, Hutmacher, Cleven, Klocek, Lang, Lawler, Madden, Moore, Munson, Olson. Paisley. Reedy. Rounds. Schoner. Staggers. Simmons. Belandra. Bitter. Whiting. Senator Brose. Madam President, ayes 21, nays 14.
The motion has received a majority vote of the members-elect and is declared passed. Questions on its title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct.